Hello and welcome to the Food and Drink Show here on Radio Reverb 97.2 FM. We're also on DAB and you might be listening to us online as well. So if you are, a very big hello from me, Karen Morton, and I am your host serving up some delicious treats for you today here on the show. We're going to get up close and personal with one of the oldest and longest established restaurants here in Brighton and Hove. We are also going to shake things up because we're talking about Cocktail Week, which is coming your way very soon, and we're going to give you some more details about that. Do reach out to us if you would like to share any culinary delights of your own. You can contact us here at Radio Reverb either by email, or you can maybe send us a little text or a tweet and we'll get back to you very soon afterwards. So do sit back and enjoy as we go for a little wander down the lanes in Brighton. I caught up with Sue Addies, who is the owner proprietor of a restaurant called Donatello's. Do you know it? I'm sure you've had a pizza or a pasta there many a time. But I too have done the same. But I wanted to know more about the lady, the matriarch, if you like, of the family business, to know what is life like for her behind the doors of this very famous restaurant, Donatello's.
Well, it started way back. Actually, we started in the 70s, in just along the road with the wine bar, because that was the day of the wine bars. And it was my husband that came over. He worked for the Italian Institute, the embassy in London. And his friend came and opened Al Duomo and said, "It's really good in Brighton. Come and open a restaurant." So my husband followed and opened. I was in Wimbledon, actually, with couple of little babies, and very reluctant to leave Wimbledon. I loved it there. I even had the boys booked in at school and everything, although they were still in arms. And but I followed and loved it here as well, and started working with him.
So the restaurant business, I mean, it's a tough one, isn't it, to get into? So had he always had a passion for food and cooking?
My husband had. He always cooked. I thought you meant me for a minute. I thought, how am I going to answer that one? Because no, I couldn't boil an egg. Yeah. My husband, he was shown by his aunt how to cook from a young age. Obviously, he's Italian. And he loved cooking. So when we opened the wine bar, he was upstairs cooking the mussels and I was serving. That's how we started, with just the two of us. When we began, we just had the entrance part and where we're sitting now. And then slowly, slowly, it was all owned by Hannington's. So Hannington's had their children's shop at one end, and we took that. And then on the side, it was their Hannington's China shop, and we took that. So slowly, slowly, we've enlarged.
Amazing. I mean, you really have, because it's so huge. Now, with a size like this, do you actually fill it?
Well, most of the time, now that we're open outside, lunchtimes, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, they'll all be outside and downstairs, so the upstairs doesn't get used as much. Yes, I mean, we work hard at filling it. It's not easy, but obviously, we offer hopefully a nice cooked meal at a reasonable price, and that we're friendly and people are loyal to us.
What do you think your secret has been?
I think because we're family owned is one thing, because now obviously it's mostly chains around. I think we work very hard. We try to purchase good quality foods. It's hard work. But I think, as I say, the most important thing is we're family. We're here all, not me personally, but we're really open 24 hours because chefs come in during the night, cleaners come in during the night, laundry lady comes in during the night. So we never actually close the door. There's always people here working.
Now, you say it's a family affair and you've got three sons who are all involved in the business.
Yes.
So what sort of things do they do?
So my eldest, Leonardo, is front of house and looks after the staff. Stefano, middle son, is in charge of the kitchens. And Michele, my youngest, again, he's front of house, but wanders around all the restaurants, so keeps control of all of them.
Wow. That's
most of the time. And then there's me.
Yes. And what is your main passion with the restaurant, Sue, to keep you involved all this time?
It's really difficult to say because, you know, my sons think I should have retired by now and they keep hinting, but I just don't want to go anywhere. It's my social life to come in, you know, see the customers and chat, and I love the PR. When I started, you know, purchasing meats, vegetables, fish was really hard because the suppliers then wouldn't look at a woman. They always wanted to talk to a man. And so I had to be so forceful then to get what I wanted. I think it's trained me well. And I hear now that most of my suppliers are scared of me, which I think is quite good. I love the feelings with the community, choosing what we support and sponsor. That's what I would miss if I wasn't around, because at the moment we're sponsoring, for example, Dorothy Stringer School with all their out kits. We've got Donatello there, Sussex University kits, obviously Brighton Hove Albion. But I support lots of other sort of charities and that are dear to my heart. And that's part of my excitement of coming in the morning, not only running the restaurant, but what else it involves.
Is that an important part of running a restaurant, to actually be part of a community and to support causes? Do you think that's a responsibility of local traders?
I mean, the bottom line is they're our customer, aren't they? So if I expect them to be loyal to me, I don't mean they can't go anywhere else to eat, but, you know, then I want to look after the community as well. I mean, with the Brighton Hove Albion fans, they come here, they support me because they know I've supported them, the club, since it was in, you know, a bad state right up to now. So I think they appreciate it. And I think, yes, it is very important. And I've often wondered why a lot of other businesses don't realise that, but I think more and more now people are, especially restaurateurs, are supporting their local community.
And what, when you were saying you've got causes that are close to your heart, and you mentioned schools and you mentioned the Brighton and Hove Albion, what other causes are close to your heart, Sue?
Well, there are so many, but the Martlets, homeless charities. And we do make the soup here every day for the homeless.
Oh, do you? Tell us about that.
Yeah, we've been doing that for a long time. Well, it's very simple. We just make some extra soup and they come up and they collect it, the volunteers, for that, and they take it down to the seafront and it's served to the homeless down there.
What changes have you seen since you opened Donatello's with people's lifestyles and eating habits?
Within our restaurant, not really a lot. I mean, we've had to embrace things that we never wanted to, like putting chicken on a pizza, for example, pineapple on a pizza. My husband would never let us do that, but we've had to do it because it's what people want. But bottom line is, our biggest selling items are a prawn cocktail and a spaghetti bolognese. And yet our menu is huge. But that's what people like to eat when they come out, so...
So still you're saying in 2018 that the old prawn cocktail that was popular in the 70s is still popular today?
Yeah,
I think spaghetti bolognese.
And I think when we opened, we had the Parma ham and melon, which we still have on, but it wasn't around in Brighton then. In London you would have it, but when we opened, so we were quite new with things then, but we still got the same things on the menu. If I went and pulled out a menu now from when we opened, apart from the price change, which isn't a lot, of course, the items are more or less the same. We've just modernised some things as people request them.
Aloha.
Aloha indeed. What a lovely song, and very appropriate, really, I thought. Lots of good old-fashioned cooking on the island. And that song actually came from an album which was produced by Jack Johnson and Friends, and it was a special festival to raise money in Hawaii for their foundation there. You may have recognised the voice of Jackson Brown, and there was a couple of others in the background, I think Ben Harper as well, and lots of other very well known musicians, but a lovely little song. Well, just before that, here on the Food and Drink Show on Radio Reverb, I was in conversation conversation with Sue Addies, the proprietor of Donatello's restaurant in Brighton. A very long established restaurant, and I really wanted to get behind the scenes to meet Sue, to really understand more about the lady herself, about her family, and how they have kept this to be a very successful business running for such a long time. In fact, Donatello's has been open since the 90s, but they've actually been running restaurants and bars much sooner than that. Now we're going to go back to having a chat with Sue, and this time we're going to be talking about what's on the menu and what wines to be drinking in the summer months here in Brighton and Hove.
I think with wine, just find what you like and enjoy it, whether you're eating fish, meat, pasta, pizza, white, red, rosé, it really doesn't matter. Just find something you like and enjoy it. Very important to have a good house wine, because some people will sit down and think, oh, the house wine's the cheapest, let's go up a bit. But actually, what a restaurant should supply is a really good house wine. But then up from that, I think our Pinot Grigio, Valpolicella, they're amazing. And still, we try and keep them as low as we can, but we serve a very good quality.
From a sparkling point of view, are you sort of a restaurant that says, right, well, we're Italian, so we're not going to serve cava?
No, we don't serve cava, but there's nothing wrong with cava.
So what do you serve? Is that we've got the summer months looming now, and we're all feeling a little bit like fizz on a hot summer's day. So what would you recommend from your
list? I think the Aperol Spritz is popular, and it's going to go up in popularity now. A lovely Prosecco. We have three Proseccos on our list, and they're all very, very good.
You also have an alternative to Prosecco.
We do.
So could you give remember? Us the name of that? Because you said, try this, Karen, and I did, and do you know what? It was lovely because it was something just a little bit different. You couldn't quite make out what the difference was, but it was enough to notice, and I like that.
It's a sparkling Verdicchio, and you're quite right. And from that wine tasting where I said that, we've got regular people coming back ordering it. It's become extremely popular. And I think at £19.50 a bottle, it's not outrageous, and it's a beautiful sparkling wine. So come and try that.
Yes, I think that's really worth a try. And as you said, a really good price as well, too. So I would say to our listeners as well, that's something worthwhile doing.
I better buy some more in.
You better get some more in. If not for me, just on my own. Well, it's so lovely to be with you here, Sue, at Donatello's. And we are sort of doing this interview live from the restaurant as everybody is preparing for the day. So there's lots of banging in the kitchen and running around, getting the chairs all set.
We try to ask them to be quiet, haven't we? But it's not working.
It is a busy restaurant, and this is the whole thing. And we wanted to come and be right in the heart of Brighton whilst talking to you, Sue. So when we have summer here, how do you alter your menu? Is there anything different to allow for the seasons?
Well, we usually put on some special salads and some delicious salads, actually. But really, still people want the pizzas and pastas. Often I see them sitting outside in the sun, tucking into a pizza, and being an English rose as I am, very pale, I have to sit inside to eat anything. But we don't really change it a lot. Obviously, the salad bar is a lot more popular, but the basics stay the same. We just try and introduce a few more things, a few more fruity white wines, nice and cold. But menu-wise, it doesn't alter a lot.
The one thing that I must say I'm enjoying on a pizza these days is rocket.
I thought you were going to say pineapple.
No, I've never quite got that one. I know kids do, but no, it's not for me. But I really enjoy rocket on my pizza. That's my thing at the moment.
I love rocket on anything.
We do a
chicken with on top of rocket with balsamic vinegar, and I love that. Mm. Yeah, I agree. Parma ham and rocket on a pizza is delicious. And I do make up my own pizzas. And my favourite, which I shouldn't really promote, I can't put it on the menu really, but it's ham. So it's a margherita with ham and then lots of cream poured on top. But I don't feel that I can put that on the menu because it's absolutely smothered in cream.
So
and
what is
it's so delicious.
So what is it about the cream then?
It just heats up, but I don't know, it's just lovely, and it soaks into the pizza slightly. It's so nice. You're wondering, how do I keep my beautiful figure eating things like that?
I'm absolutely thinking that, Sue. Yeah, exactly. How did you come to discover that cream would be lovely on pizza?
I think it was probably one of my grandchildren, because they sneak in there and make pizzas. So anything they put their hand on gets put on or poured on. And I think it was them that started it. They like ham, and then there was some cream, and one of them, my grandson, picked it up and poured it on top. And I had a slice, and I thought, oh, that's really good.
Well, there's something about cream with herbs, so maybe it's bringing out the flavour of the herbs that are cooking on it.
It's just cream.
It's just cream, I know, cream on it.
Better on a pizza than strawberries in my eyes.
Well, that's one I think we've all got to give a go of. I must do that, actually. I will try it out, and we'll see then if we're going to catch on to this.
We'll make you one of those.
So it's clearly then going into the next generation, the next part of the family then, are discovering new flavours for you. Do you think your grandchildren are going to want to get into the business?
Well, I have five grandchildren. One of them is 15, just turned 15, and he's already going to catering college in London on the Saturdays, and he loves it, and he's a brilliant cook already. We've had him in the kitchens here, and he's a real asset. Definitely we got one. I don't think he's thinking of coming in here. He's thinking of going off to Italy, do some work there when he's finished catering college, and then opening his own restaurant. I said, I don't think it's that easy, but I'm sure he'll come here and learn how to do it all before.
What's his
name? But he's ambitious. He's Pietro.
So Pietro has got his own ambitions, really in the family style. So
yes.
Watch out for a bit of competition then, Gran.
No, he's welcome. I'm sure I will have retired by then, but who knows?
Now, is that just what you're saying there, is that important to you and to your sons, spending time in Italy to look at what's going on with learning new flavours or bringing the sense of Italy back to Brighton?
Well, we do go out a lot. I mean, I go out always for the wine tastings. It's a hard life.
Oh, tough.
But my sons go out to the canning factories, the tomatoes, the cheese, and see what's going on. And obviously go to different restaurants. We have lots of friends out there with restaurants, so they keep up to date in that way with what's happening.
Good. Is there anything that you've discovered that is very popular in Italy but wouldn't quite work here?
You know, I think the fried pizzas, I know you can get them. Very big in Sicily, and I went there and I wasn't at all impressed. I don't know, would people want fried pizzas? They're so popular in Naples, yes.
Really?
Yes, they deep fry them. Roll them up, deep fry them. But I really can't see that working. Again, it's sort of going against me to serve it. But if everybody came in and said, oh, you haven't got fried pizzas on the menu, then I would have to think it. But
well, some people eat fried Mars bars. So
they do indeed.
That is bizarre.
Yes.
So, you know, hey, why not fried pizza? But it's a healthier option not to go the fried route, isn't it? But
yeah.
I've never even heard of that. So you've introduced me to two different types of pizzas. Number one, cream on the pizza with ham. And then fried pizzas. So, gosh,
there's
two new things for me today, which is lovely.
At the end of the day, you can put anything on a pizza, can't you? I mean, you can put pears and chocolate sauce and make it a dessert. I mean, it doesn't have to be a savoury pizza. And so here we actually make our own dough, because a lot of places will buy frozen dough. And it's a long process to make your dough, because obviously it has to rest for 3 days. And so this is all made in-house.
So
from
the beginning. Now, here we are, absolutely, in the kitchen at Donatella's. And who have I got here? What is your name?
Christian.
Christian. So, Christian, you've got the dough all laid out there, and I presume it's a secret recipe, is it, for Donatella's?
Yeah, I know speak very good English. I speak Italy, but
so you're from Italy?
Yes.
You're the real deal. We love that, the real deal. So what are you going to put on the pizza?
He will put on the pizza whatever you ask for.
Whatever I ask for. Well, that's wonderful. So
I'll be the translator.
We've got mushrooms, we've got mozzarella cheese, tomato,
ham.
We've got peppers and artichoke. Okay, so what you're saying is that I can have whatever I like on this pizza. It could be pizza a la Karen for the weekend. I'm loving that. Okay, well, definitely got to have the tomato on there, tomato base. I really like the idea of artichokes with mushrooms, olives and mozzarella. This is looking good. And it's the way the spooning of actually the tomato sauce laid out there. You have a little art form. Yeah, that's really good. There goes the mushrooms. Beautiful. On top, lots of mushrooms and the cheese. Okay, and we're going to have artichoke, I think, is the other one, isn't it? Artichoke on there. Brilliant.
Your pizza's looking very boring, I have to say.
Do you think? I'm loving this so far. Okay, now we want some olives.
Okay.
A few olives.
Got a bit of colour now.
Okay, a bit of colour going on there.
Do you eat meat?
And I do. I do eat meat, yes.
Have some ham.
We'll have some ham on there, okay. And what would you add for a bit of a kick? What sort of herbs or whatever would you put on there, do you think? Anything?
A kick is chili, really. We don't.
Chili.
Yeah? Oh, my word.
You could have spinach.
Oh, I've got to take a photograph of this. You didn't show me this. You're hiding this. Okay, right. No, we've got chilies and peppers, all sliced chilies, and spinach.
Throw
the ricotta cheese on there as well. Definitely. Let's get a bit of colour going on here. Look at this.
Ricotta cheese.
Oh, yeah, ricotta cheese. Go for it. I think this could be a top seller for, over the weekend.
I'm not convinced.
You're not convinced? I've got refined taste, Sue, you see? This is great.
What you're doing is just putting a bit of everything on.
Oh, and a bit of spinach. But isn't that the beauty about it? About a pizza? If you can have cream, Sue, I can have ricotta cheese with spinach and chilies. Oh, yeah, a bit of spinach on there. And I noticed with the spinach, you kind of have it sort of pre-prepared, really.
Yeah, it's fresh spinach that we cook, and you can't put it on uncooked, so just been blanched.
So that's good, and it probably removes some of the moisture as well by doing that, too.
But you think are that's making a bit of a pizza that could end up a bit soggy.
Am I?
I think that's because the ricotta and the. I wouldn't go any more.
Okay, so you think this is good now with what we have? Excellent.
Cream would be good.
Cream would be good as well. And have you tried Sue's pizza with cream on it?
Yeah.
You have? What do you think? Did you like it?
Yeah.
What are you saying is. Not really, but if Sue asks for it, she gets it and I don't say anything.
So anyway, this is pizza a la Karen for the weekend. It might be a little bit soggy, but it does look really good, Christian. An egg. You think an egg should go on the top of that? Put the egg on. Sue's there now saying, you see, you're all getting into this now, this creativity of making a pizza. And how long does it take to cook your pizzas here?
2 minutes, half 3 minutes.
So no wonder you can make so many pizzas if it's 2 to 3 minutes going out there. That is fantastic.
We have a big oven, as you can see,
for making lots of pizzas. Yeah. So we've got the whole thing. So great, Christian. I'm looking forward to this, to pizza a la Karen. And it's looking good raw, but I'm sure it's going to look even better when it's cooked. Now, so my pizza is just out of the oven. I've loved watching it as it's just cooked so quickly as well, too. Christian, I have to say thank you for making my pizza. I've got the rocket on top, Sue's suggested egg, I've got my artichokes, my ricotta cheese, and I just can't wait to sit down and have a little glass of maybe sparkling wine, do you think, Christian, to go with my pizza? Mm. Would that go well?
Yes, very, very, very good.
Excellent. Well, Christian, thank you for being my own personal chef today with pizza a la Karen at the restaurant. Sue's not sure if she's going to serve it up at all, which I'm very disappointed about, but I think it's going to be delicious. Oh, indeed, don't we love that? A little bit of liquid spirit, and we all have a touch of that, and we're certainly going to have a lot of it as Cocktail Week is coming to Brighton and Hove, and we're going to be talking about that in a little while here on the Food and Drink Show. But meanwhile, we're going back to Donatello's restaurant to have a few more words with Sue Addies, who is the matriarch, the owner of the restaurant, alongside her sons. It's a real family affair, and they serve it up really, really well. And as we've heard from Sue already, that really the drinks of the summer, there's no surprises. We all love a bit of fizz and the Aperol spirits. And don't forget to, when you do go in there, to ask them for the alternative to the Prosecco. It's rather delicious and it's also very good value as well. We also heard there about some of the trends on pizzas. What do you like on yours? And yes, I was rather disappointed that Sue wasn't too impressed with the pizza that I made. But I'll tell you what, I had a lot of fun in the kitchen, and what a gorgeous kitchen it is as well. You heard me there getting very excited whenever the chef pulled out some of the food drawers, and it was like an Aladdin's cave. There was all sorts of vegetables chopped, amazing colours, all in little chilled cabinets. And if I hadn't have been nosy and asked, I never would have discovered the delights that are ready to go on top of our pizzas at Donatella's restaurant. So I had a lot of fun making my pizza. I will share with you something rather amusing, because I came out with my pizza and I thought, that's great. I will take this box with the pizza home. I'll share it with my family and I'll see what they thought of the masterpiece that I had made. So on my way to the car, I noticed that there was a guy sitting on the pavement in a sleeping bag, reading a book in the sunshine. And as I went to put my ticket into the pay booth for my car, I thought, you know what? I've got this big pizza here. I'm sure he could do with a slice of pizza. So I went over, and Nathan, I don't think you'll be listening to me, but hey, thank you for the smile. And I hope you were delighted with my pizza because I gave it to you. And hopefully you will appreciate the Karen surprise pizza that I made in the kitchen. But let's go back to Sue now, just for some closing words about what really makes it all worthwhile for her.
Now, Sue, you have sort of grown as a businesswoman, and I'm sure as a person, as you said, from getting involved as a novice in the restaurant business. Mm. What have been the real delights for you in running this business?
I think it's got to be being a family business. I mean, I come in here, my sons have been working here since they were 18. I won't say how old they are now. And it's just the pleasure of all being together, really. And then my grandchildren, they all come in here, they've all work in here, you know, during holidays and that, even when they're very young, they work here. So I think that is my delight of it all. And being part of the lanes, I've seen the lanes change, and they're changing again now with the building work of a new lane going in right next door to us. I think it's just the involvement with people, the public, good chats, good wines, good food. What more can you ask for?
Indeed, what more could you ask for? I was in conversation with Sue Addies from Donatello's restaurant, and I hope that you enjoyed getting up close and personal behind the scenes of the restaurant to learn a little bit more about what goes on that we don't really see. And I also discovered that Sue is like myself. We both love pajama Sundays, sitting with a big mug of coffee, looking out at our gardens in our pajamas. There's nothing better than that. And we also share a passion for Vivienne Westwood design. So we had a lot more conversation over some delicious coffee, and I enjoyed being there. And thank you very much indeed, Sue, for inviting me along. Now, we are going to be talking about Cocktail Week, which is coming up in July here in Brighton and Hove. And it's all happening on the Food and Drink Show, Radio Reverb. My name is Karen Morton. Oh, the House Martins there, and happy hour. Well, we all love a happy hour, and we love it when it's rain or shine, we certainly do enjoy what our local pubs, restaurants and wine bars service up to delight us. And we are delighted here in Brighton and Hove with cocktails. We absolutely adore cocktails. Well, I needed to know more about Cocktail Week, which is coming up in July. And I want to get my wristband so that I can wander along and get some really good price cocktails. Now, I'm not the expert, but I went along to someone who is.
I'm Zoe Cunliffe, my company's Mixology Group. I've been running for 8 years now, and we run a bespoke cocktail school based in Seven Dials, where we have a range of approved and accredited cocktail courses for people that want to get into the industry or just for people that want to come along and have a day's fun. We also run mobile cocktail bars and events.
And if people are, do you do private parties and things like that
as
well?
We do, yes. We do anything from a private party in your home to a large corporate event.
How did you get into it?
That's my husband, Miles, really. He is the bartender in the family, and he worked in London for Shaker Bar School as well, and he was trained up there for about 3 years before we decided to do the same thing for us here. And he's been in the bar industry for about 18 years now in total.
And then you joined in?
I did, yes.
So you had no bar experience beforehand?
No, I ran a nanny agency before. So I was dealing with people and sending them to shifts and things. So we just decided we would join forces and both work within the alcohol industry because it's a bit more fun.
A bit more fun. But it's terrific because you've got all those organisational skills and
that's
people
right,
skills
yeah.
and coordinating everything. So that sounds fantastic. Now, as well, just before we get talking about Cocktail Week, you are very much involved in the Brighton and Hove Food Festival.
Yes, they are part of Cocktail Week, basically. We run that together with them. We've been running bars with them for the last 8 years. And we just decided that we would take it to the next level by using the bars for Cocktail Week and just to have a celebration of all the bars that are across Brighton and Hove, really.
So Cocktail Week, now we've had in April, we had sort of Wine Week and we had the Wine Trail.
That's right. Sort
of hot on the heels, there was the Foodie Festival during mm-hmm. the month of May. And also then in June sees a lot of the vineyards opening their doors in Sussex to get people to come in to have tasters and masterclasses. And then July, it's Cocktail Week. So
why not? Yeah.
What happens in Cocktail Week?
Well, so this year, it's the second year. For the first 2 days, we've got a cocktail court. And in that cocktail court, there will be up to 20 brands all showing their wares. And for anybody who has a Cocktail Week wristband, you can enter into the cocktail court for free and all of the drinks will be £5. You get your wristbands at the Brighton Cocktail Week website. They're just £10 and that also gives you access to now over 50 venues across Brighton and Hove, which will all be selling one Brighton Cocktail Week cocktail for £5 for the whole duration of Cocktail Week.
Oh my goodness, I can see people having a lot of fun during the wonderful week that it is. Now, with the wristband, how do we find out as well to the trail, if you like, of where we can go?
Sure, so everything is on a map on our website, brightoncocktailweek.co.uk. They're all labelled on a little Google map so you can work out your trail. You've got 10 days basically from the 6th to the 15th of July to get through 50 bars.
Oh my goodness, now there's a challenge.
Yes.
I think we'd all like to give a bit of a go.
Yes. And as well as that, there are a lot of events running across the week. We've partnered with a lot of restaurants. I know La Choza are having a special cocktail fusion night with lots of Brighton's top chefs and top bartenders coming along to do 5 courses with cocktails. Metro Deco are doing a 4-course meal with cocktail pairing. Then we've got people like Aluna Rum who are putting on a luau in the Gun Ho Bar for the whole week and celebrating Pina Colada Day in there. At the end of the week, Bacardi is sponsoring the first Brighton Flair Open, which is where people are coming from all over the world to compete to see who can throw the bottles around the best.
Oh my goodness. Now, speaking of which, How can we? How do you learn how to flare a bottle?
Well,
what is it?
You have to come on one of our wonderful courses.
So you actually teach people to do that? What
we
is
do,
it?
Yes. I mean, it is an art form. We have a flare club here that happens every Monday evening. So if you just wanted to come along and try a hand at it, it's free of charge, just to come along and spend some time with Brandon, who's our flaring instructor, and he will help you to understand how to start with it. And then if you want to progress, then you can come along to one of our courses.
So when you're flaring a bottle, is it juggling? Is it flame throwing? What is it?
Yeah, it's a form of juggling. Yeah.
Is there a lot of smashed bottles?
There's no fire that happens, especially at the beginning. You can progress to that, but not in my school.
Okay. So if you're wanting to sort of learn how to be a fancy mixologist like you see in some of the top cocktail bars, this is the thing to do then?
Well, yeah. I mean, not all bars have flair in them. There are very specific bars that do, but we're always being asked for them within the events industry. It's still a very popular choice.
Sounds great.
Yeah.
Now, what do you think the attraction is to running things like Wine Week and Cocktail Week for people in Brighton and Hove?
I think it's just a good chance to try somewhere new, to come out of the pub that you're usually in, to have a reason to go to investigate what other new bars there are around town that you might not have heard of, and to just try some new products that you might not have heard of as well, because there are so many brands that are supporting so many different venues. There'll be a whole range of spirits that you didn't know were out there.
Oh, now, okay, so tell us, what sort of spirits are sort of maybe new and exciting that you have found at Mixologist?
Ooh, new and exciting. I mean, we've got gin. There's so many gins. Great to have gins from Sussex, who will be part of the Cocktail Week, so that's brilliant. Flavoured gins, we're getting a few more of those in. And people beginning their own rum, with a bit more rum coming out in the UK at the moment. And then we've got some nice soft products as well, soft drink products as well, that can be used to create drinks. So Fentimans doing a lovely range, which we'll be making drinks with, and just showing people how easy it is to make drinks at home. So, yeah, all sorts of weird and wonderful spirits to come out, and weird and wonderful nights. We've even got a Midsummer Night Dream event happening with DJs and theatrical acts going on at Bohemia for one of the days.
Oh my goodness, so that's part of Cocktail Week then, Midsummer's Night Dream. It sounds like a dream event to actually go to. Have you any advice for anyone taking part in Cocktail Week? If it's your first time, what would you advise?
Plan your route. And obviously, drink responsibly.
Yes. But I think it's a good advice about planning your route, because I took part in the wine trail for the first time this year, and you get your map. And one of the things that we decided, and we were very glad that we did, was to sort of choose Kemp Town on the Saturday, and then we went to Hove on the Sunday.
Yep.
So it's making the most of the venues, and it also opens you up to potentially new places that you haven't been to.
Absolutely,
before.
Yeah, and check out the events, because a lot of them are ticketed, so if you want to make sure you get space on the one that you want, it's best to book it early.
So spend a little bit of time looking online, looking at the trail, and planning your way so you have a good time.
Yep, absolutely.
And take some friends.
Yes. And drink water between each cocktail.
What cocktail at the moment is proving most popular?
The espresso martini has been this year's biggest seller.
Has it really?
Yep.
Even now coming into summer?
Yep. Yeah.
Still a popular one.
Yeah.
Wow, that's interesting.
Yeah.
And the long, tall drinks that go down very well.
Well, I think the mojito is always going to be up there, but we're seeing more people order things like Collins now, and maybe like raspberry Collins, because it's a bit more towards the summer period. Porn star martinis.
Porn star martinis.
Yeah.
What goes into a porn star martini?
Vanilla vodka, passion fruit and lemon juice, and you get a little shot of Prosecco on the side of that.
Oh,
yeah.
Now that sounds like my kind of drink, because they're two of my favourites, is a martini and also going for a glass of Prosecco.
Yeah, so they're very popular.
That's a nice one. I'd say that's quite a girly one, is it?
Yeah, it is, yeah.
Okay, I can see plenty of those going down well.
Yeah.
Do you find that cocktail, what brought cocktails into being so popular and en vogue in recent years?
I think that the girls from Sex and the City did a really good job of bringing the Cosmopolitan back to life and then bringing the cocktail back to life, really.
So not only do we like the fashion in the films, they actually got us drinking more cocktails. Yeah. I think that's a good
I do, topic. Yeah. It really began the scene rose again from when they started sitting on TV chatting in cocktail bars.
Wow. Thank you so much, ladies of TV and film. That's just great.
I know, they've got a lot to answer for.
They have got a lot to answer for, yeah. Have you any predictions for sort of the cocktail sort of market and popularity in the area?
I think we're going to see more rum drinks coming back. And the gin will continue to rise because there are so many great gin producers popping up all over the place. I think what's going to happen is we're just going to find more ways of drinking gin, more different flavoured tonics, and we'll just continue to drink more cocktails. Mm. Yeah.
It's an interesting one too, because there's so many people conscious of health, conscious there of are. Weight, so I think that's another attraction for people drinking gin, as maybe sort of steering away from drinking wine based products.
Sure.
And going for that.
And we are seeing a rise in mocktails as well.
Yeah.
They're becoming quite popular. There are companies out there who are creating non-alcoholic spirits, and they seem to be really popular at the moment. They're going onto lots of menus that we're designing.
And that's really good to see, particularly when you're going out to restaurants. And if you're the designated driver, you want to be having as much fun as everyone else. And it's
exactly.
What your glass looks like and tastes like.
You want to feel part of the party.
Yeah. And for mocktails, what seems to be proving popular?
Well, there's a product called Seedlip, which is everywhere at the moment. And a Seedlip and tonic seems to be going down really well. Virgin mojitos we get asked for a lot on our menus, and there's a lot of elderflower presses as well. Yeah.
Speaking of which, that's one of the things that I'll be making later on today. I'm going to nick some. That, well, I call it community pruning from my local park, where I see there's masses of heads still there.
We do the same with our children.
It's great.
Take them out around the village and do a little pruning.
Do a little pruning and make your own elderflower. It's brilliant. Zoe, thank you very much. I think we're going to go now, aren't we, into your mixology school.
Yeah.
And make a cocktail.
We are, yes.
Okay. Let's take me to the master.
Okay.
So I'm with Miles now, and we're here in, if you like, the bar, the mixology group bar. You do a lot of training events here. Is that right, Miles?
Yeah, we do. We've got a purpose-built cocktail school, and we deliver a number of accredited courses. We do also have some fun courses as well.
We like to have fun, don't we? So it means that anybody can come along.
Yeah, we have a one-day course, which is on the first Saturday and first Tuesday of every month, and it's 6 hours long. It's very informal, run through six techniques, six cocktails, get to taste all of this wonderfulness behind me, which is shelves filled with booze, have loads of fun. So if that's something that interests you on the novice kind of side of things, that's great. But then we can cater for the super alcohol geeks out there. We deliver WSET courses, level one and level two in spirits, and then our own range of courses as well.
Sounds great. And what I love about Brighton and Hove is it's a bit like London. You can go down a little alleyway and you've no idea what's hidden behind, and you basically have this whole musey area with all bar gear and everything, and this wonderful setup that I just feel like a perch here on the stool and stay and taste drinks all day.
Thank you.
we're working ahead of cocktail week. I'm getting a little bit of a flavor. You've put this gorgeous tall glass in front of me with ice cubes in the shape of balls, and it looks exquisite right the way to the top. What are you going to be mixing for me?
So I thought I'd make you, it's quite an iconic drink, it's the Tuscan Mule, made with the lovely Chewacca. Chewacca is one of the first brands I actually worked for a very long time ago. So this drink is almost synonymous with Brighton, I think, and throughout my time here, which is, again, a very long time, and will be present throughout Brighton Cocktail Week as well. So it's really, really simple. We've got some fresh lime, we've got some Chewacca, we've got some Fentimans ginger ale, and then we're just going to pop in a little dash of Angostura bitters. So really, really easy for you guys to replicate at home. However much you pour at home is entirely up to you. Today I'm going to use a nice 50ml measure. But, whatever you feel like dosing yourself up with,
Oh, it's looking good already. What goes into, what is Ciuaca?
So Ciuaca is an orange and vanilla based liqueur from Italy. It was launched here in Brighton. It started here in Brighton and took Brighton by storm when Zoe and I moved here early 2000s, I think it was then. It's just a really nice, refreshing drink. And again, synonymous with Brighton, I think. So it's a really lovely to be able to showcase it for you today. So we've got now a lovely tall glass filled with ice. Whatever shape of ice you want to use is completely up to you. I'm just very lucky. I have a machine that makes these balls.
Oh, I like it. I want a toy like that.
Most people do. Then we're going to top up with some Fentimans ginger ale.
Now, when we're sort of looking at mixers, there's quite a variety now of brands that are out there. And it can be a little bit confusing sometimes when you see them all lined up. You're choosing Fentons. Why have you chosen Fentons to go with this one?
Fentons for me are a really lovely company. I think their whole portfolio, the whole range is amazing. But more importantly, for me and my company, they don't use sugar alternatives. So there are other brands out there, of course, who also do this. But for me, you know, it's nice working with a nice small family company. They're based up in the north. So we and I have both been up to see the factory where this stuff is made. Mm. You know, we understand the provenance of the ingredients that they use. And for me, you know, I think the flavour speaks for itself. If you're using all of that volume you're topping up with a mixer, it might as well be something good. You can spend your money on the spirits, of course, and lovely gins, whiskies, rums, etc. But you can also, you know, just a little bit more money, you can get something fantastic. And it's the flavour at the end of the day that we really want to focus on.
It does make a difference, doesn't it? When you try some different brands of mixers, and you take the same, if you like, the gin or the rum or the Ciuaca, and you try them all out, there's so much difference in taste. Now, what I also like here with this Fentimans ginger ale, what they put on the front, is they've all given you some advice. Mix with whiskey or spiced rum for a delicious timeless classic. Because that's what you kind of need, isn't it?
A little bit of inspiration every now and again. I think. You know, some people get a little bit stuck perhaps in the same old drink. You know, it's good to have a little bit of variance. So I'm just squeezing a couple of fresh lime wedges into this drink. This is obviously a liqueur, so it's quite sweet. And then we've paired it with the ginger ale, which again, you know, has a sweetness to it. Just going to give it a quick mix. At Mixology Group, we are and have been massive fans of the sort of ban a single plastic straw movement. So we've swapped onto biodegradables and we've swapped onto metal straws as well. I think that's very, very important. You know, at events, we're now reducing the exposure straws have on the bar, so our customers, our guests, have to physically ask for a straw now. They're not on prominent display anymore. And I think these little steps, although we're not quite there yet with the biodegradables, these little steps, if we all start to take them, we will all start to do a little bit better for the environment.
Definitely, and we just need prompted. People just didn't think beforehand.
Exactly. It was an automatic, you know, just put a couple of straws in and then your plastic stirrer and then a pink flamingo and all the rest kind of gets added to it.
You kind of have to stick your hand in to remove everything so you can get to the drink.
Exactly. It's the last final little bit. It's just a wee dash of Angostura bitters or any bitters brand that you like to get hold of. Just adds a little bit of spiciness to the ginger ale.
And it's just a dash. And really, you can get that just about anywhere, all the supermarkets.
Yeah, absolutely. All the ingredients that I've used today are pretty available across sort of the top five supermarkets. But there we have a fabulous Tuscan Mule.
A Tuscan Mule. And actually, that's not an expensive cocktail to make.
And again,
for your
it's up to you as to whether or not you want it tall and fancy in a tall glass like this, or you want it in a wine glass, pretty much like an Aperol Spritz serve. Yeah. If you just want it in a pint glass.
Okay, so Tuscan Mule, here we go.
Here we go.
And rather delicious my Tuscan Mule was as well. A very big thank you there to Miles for being my own bartender. So didn't I do well on the Food and Drink Show today? I had my own chef. I've had my own mixologist. But I hope that you enjoyed some of the tasty treats we've had on the show today. A very big thank you there to Zoe and Miles from the Mixology Group, telling us not only just about Cocktail Week, but again, giving us a little bit more insight into what they do. And if you want to learn how to make cocktails, they do a very good job having their own little school tucked away there in Hove. What did we learn today? Well, from Sue, we discovered that behind the scenes in Donatella, she puts cream on pizzas and says, we've all got to give it a go. So don't knock it till you try it. One of the things as well, I think that I'm going to do more actually when using spinach on my pizza is to blanch it first, which isn't something I normally do, but it actually, I think, is a better texture on your pizza and keeps the colour as well. So I learned that. Also, deep fried pizzas are very popular in parts of Italy. I'd like to know what you think about that. Have you tried one? Then do let us know here at Radio Reverb at the Food and Drink Show. We were certainly shaking things up with cocktails, and as we've just heard there, there's plenty of variety. Rum is coming back on vogue this summer, and gin is still in. So thank you to Zoe and Miles for sharing that with us. And of course, the girls from Sex and the City have a lot to answer for, getting us all drinking cocktails in Brighton and Hove. So that's what I'll be doing during Cocktail Week. Now, we mentioned as well about Elderflower Cordial. And you get it in, you know, it's really good whenever you're making cocktails. It's delicious in gin. But Fever Tree do a very good tonic water with elderflower flavouring in it. And it's a very good one. Now, the flowers on the elderflower sort of bush, if you like, are still out there. Another week, I reckon, and then they'll be gone. So go into your park, snip away at picking up some of the flowers if you don't have any in your garden. I made some this week. Now, it's very hard to get citric acid. I had to go to at least three chemists before I was able to get it. You can only get it in the chemist. And if you're having trouble getting it, it's only about £1.50 a box. Go along to Blake's Chemist on Blatchington Road. They actually have it there. So be quick, because the flowers are only going to last for a little bit longer. I was able to make 3 litres of cordial, believe it or not, whenever I had it all squelched down. It's looking rather lovely and it's tasting good as well. So there's lots of elderflower recipes on websites, so check it out and see if you can make your own before the flowers disappear. It's a lot of fun to make your own. So again, thank you for joining me as my guest here on the Food and Drink Show on Radio Reverb. Do check out our Facebook page, because I will be putting up lots of photographs of some of the delights that I've tasted and the people that I talk to here on the show. And again, a big thank you to Zoe and Miles from Mixology Group, and to Sue Addies from Donatella's, and to you for listening.
You've been listening to a Radio Reverb podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and review, and to hear more podcasts like this, check out RadioReverb.com.